From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made yesterday when RTS, Rochester's public transport system, announced that at the end of this school year, starting in June, they would stop transporting nearly 9,000 Rochester students to and from school. The announcement followed a number of incidents at the new $50 million center, which opened in the fall. Most of the incidents have involved kids scuffling with other kids. A couple of weeks ago, though, a bystander was injured. And on this program, some parents called to tell us they didn't want to use the RTS system until they felt it was safe. Was this a case of perception and reality being different? What was really going on? Well, the city school district now says this move from RTS doesn't give them enough notice to find other ways to transport students. They've got some decisions to make. Is the breakup the right move? We'll talk about that this hour, among other things, with RTS CEO Bill Carpenter. He is in studio and my guest for the hour, and I definitely appreciate your time. I know our listeners do too, Bill. Thanks for being here.
Evan, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the community and appreciate you having me on the show.
I know it's been a busy few weeks, and I want to start with the reality of what has been going on, because sometimes the community starts to snowball a narrative, even if that is not fully the case. So when it comes to, first of all, the question on the so-called incidents, how many and how often, and most of the cases, my understanding, kids involving kids, what's been going on at the center?
Well, Evan, we serve nearly a million customers a month through the RTS Transit Center, so there are just volumes of people. This week, we will serve more at the Transit Center than the Amtrak station will for the entire calendar year. So it is a busy place. We do have individuals who need medical attention. We've had heart attacks. We've had individuals going into labor. So you'll see medical personnel, emergency personnel for a variety of reasons. But we also have high volumes of students under our current agreement and service model with the city school district, high volumes of students coming in the morning and in the afternoon. And what we found is even as we've increased levels of security, we've not been able to keep an atmosphere where customers feel safe.
Okay. And when it comes to that security, one of the questions that people in this community have had, especially those I think who haven't used the center, is, how could this be happening? Don't you have police there? Don't you have security? What's the answer?
So when we started, we anticipated we would have about a dozen of our own staff, contract security and RTS staff, and 2 to 4 RPD officers as part of their beat. They have a substation just across the street from the RTS Transit Center. As incidents occurred, they're caught on camera, the youths involved or adults involved in those cases are picked up by the police, or if it's not an arrest issue, the students, we call the parents. And we thought students would quickly realize this is not a place for events to occur. What we've found over time is even as we've ramped up more of our security, as the school district has in recent weeks supplied security, Pathways to Peace, clergy on patrol, the mayor and the police chief have been very generous with their staffing, and we've contracted for additional RPD staff. It has not put an end to the incidents. It's a high volume of students at particular points in time where these events are happening.
Does it disappoint you knowing that you've got, 40,000 people a day? How many people go through the center?
35,000 to 40,000 people a day.
Okay, and it can be half a dozen who might make thousands of people feel unsafe, and it has to be disappointing.
This is a beautiful facility. Anyone who walks into it for the first time says, this does not look like Rochester. This looks like a major city facility. It's like an airport terminal for people who use a bus. It's a beautiful facility. It is safe, climate controlled, a tremendous amount of electronic information to make it easy for people to get around. And then in the beginning of the day and in the afternoon, you can have 1,600 students coming through on a 2-hour period of time. And it would not be difficult if they came in, got on their bus, and left. But these students tell us, I'm waiting to meet a friend. My parents don't want me home yet. I don't have a home to go to. And it's that loitering and staying around that eventually their energy level incidents occur. And what we find is the stabbing that we had 2 weeks ago, the police chief spoke to me. the victim had been involved in a gang fight the week before, posted on Facebook, hey, here's who I beat up and where I did it. The day he was stabbed, three individuals walked into the transit center with their school pass IDs or a dollar to get in. That's what we're doing. We're checking at the gates at school times, make sure they have a reason to be in. It's a public facility. You show a dollar, you can get in. These three individuals came in, went right to the area where this individual was. So there were people watching for the victim. And in front of police officers, our security had followed these three people in because their movement was not purposeful for a bus. They had a different attitude. Our security knows what that looks like. And despite that, in about 30 seconds, two people punched him and the third one stabbed him. And all the people involved were arrested. The victim was taken to the hospital. So we've got it. That period of time, we had 25 staff inside the facility, a targeted incident. The conclusion I reached was this is not a facility where we can have high volumes of individuals. This person was targeted because they knew the way he got home from school was a bus to the transit center, come to this gate, and he was targeted. I went through the transit center in February with School Board Vice President Cynthia Elliott. And this was a visceral reaction for me because as we went through, she would stop and ask some students, and there were five students. She stopped, what's your name? What school do you go to? What's your age? 14 and 15-year-old young ladies, do you feel safe here? And the vote was 5-0, I don't feel safe. And I thought, geez, these are good kids who are trying to use the system the way it's intended to, but because they're confined to a particular place while they wait, and the only way to get their bus is at a specific gate, just like at an airport terminal. Your plane is going to be at this gate. You have to wait here to get on your bus. These individuals feel threatened because others know they're there, and if there's bullies, if there's others that want to intimidate them, it can be done. And so from February, March, April, we've added security. We've changed pass rules. Next Monday, we'll implement some new changes to reduce the number of students after school. But the decision that we came to is we couldn't continue to customize a system designed to serve the entire community for the Rochester City School District. And that was a painful decision. I'm sure I've heard the public statements. The superintendent and I spoke briefly yesterday morning to inform him of the decision. I know there's a lot of work on their end, what can be done, and we're willing to be helpful. But on our end, it's 144 positions that need to be eliminated. Good, honest, hardworking people who are going to lose their jobs because we need to look at our prime mission, which is to serve the entire community. And in customizing our system to serve a particular group of students, our customers are saying, your transit facility is not a place I want to be in. I spoke with the individual that was injured a couple days after the stabbing. Two young people got into a brawl. It was an empty part of the concourse. There was security nearby. One person wanted to beat up another. As they brawled, a 68-year-old woman, very spry, very surprised to learn her age, but she was just walking by. And as they brawled, hit her in the back, she fell forward, flat on the floor. Her knee, her shoulder, her teeth damaged. Taken to the hospital. When I spoke to her when she was home, she said, there's no one on my bus that feels safe to come in here. And we now have targeted individuals being victimized. We have customers who are being victimized. And when I spoke to the mayor about that incident, because that person she was familiar with, she also told me young people are telling her it's getting back to her. And it had gotten back to my security staff that people enjoy fighting at the transit center because we break it up so quickly. So if there's someone who outside the transit center would beat me up, I can go sucker punch him or her. No, I might get hit back a little bit, but RTS has such great security, I don't need to worry about being seriously damaged. Those are the kinds of stories, that information, they're not stories, they're facts, that at the end of the day, we want the community to have a safe place to transfer for public transportation. They don't feel that way now. For specific individuals, it hasn't been safe for them. And there is not a person that I talk to, and I'm in the transit center on a regular basis, there is not a person that I talk to that uses a facility that says, please keep these students in here. They're all, what are you going to do? I see the security and it's still happening. What are you going to do? Yesterday we announced what we're going to do.
Do you feel safe there?
I feel safe there. When I walk in, the security folks know I'm there. But quite frankly, there are adults that feel safe there, but they don't want the students there. It creates an atmosphere. When we have an incident, I often get to view the video. And one of the other issues, so we have that targeted fight. And on social media, these are bright people. We have a good school system. They learn things. And on social media, they'll say, there's going to be a fight in front of Gate 7. And when it starts, you will see hundreds of students rushing, young people, from one end to the other end. And if you're a mother with young children, if you're mobility impaired, if you're a strong male and you're going the wrong way as that crowd rushes, there is a fear. There is catch your breath. And frankly, when I was giving the tour with one key stakeholder here in town, I was on the second level and watched as a fight started on the St. Paul side, and everyone on the Clinton side heard about it, rushed through. There are about 16-foot-wide corridors on either side of the restrooms. It's 40, 50 feet, and then all of a sudden it's 16 feet, so it gets very narrow there. As a crowd rushed through there, people pushing themselves against the walls or the gates, trying to get out of the students' way, I found myself catching my breath. So that was one of the incidents. We need more security. We need to check the students at the door. We've done all those steps. And 2 weeks ago, we had our most serious incidents. And again, 25 security staff. There were about a dozen police. The city school district had staff. Pathways to Peace had staff. Clergy on Patrol and staff. We had our contract security, our own staff. And these incidents are occurring.
I have to say, Bill, and we're talking to Bill Carpenter, CEO of RTS, who is taking the time to come in and talk to us at length about this decision, among other things, at the new center. I've covered crime in the city for years now, and most of the time when we see, let's say, police are targeting neighborhoods or perhaps they're targeting drug dealers or whatever it is, it's a bit of a whack-a-mole situation. Sometimes you target a neighborhood, you clean it up, and the message gets out, police will be here. Sometimes the crime goes elsewhere. I don't think I can recall hearing that people were happy to see more security or more police and still willing to engage in fighting or criminal behavior, knowing they would be watched with police sometimes within feet from them. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Evan, it's the when we had our community open house, I attended much of the community open house, and customers would say, aren't you afraid the Liberty Pole will happen in here, or a Runaquait Mall will happen in here? I said, we've got the systems in place. And my learning over the last 5 months is what would deter people who are truly interested in doing something and not being caught. Those security measures are having no impact on individuals. We have individuals who get caught, and this is where I said the other day, it's a community-wide problem. We'll have a 15-year-old caught in a fight. We'll call the parents, and the parents will say, did you touch my child? Why'd you touch my child? Why are you calling me? Just send him home. You know, we're saying, no, you need to come get your child. You need to realize what's happening here. I watched the news last night, the Baltimore mother that recognized her child. She's a single parent, 6 kids. I believe she has one son. Saw her son in Baltimore, hoodie on, recognized him, and went down there, and the cameras caught her, grab her son, mm-hmm. and say, you get out of here. And we have had parents come into the transit center and talk to the students, talk to their children, friends of their children, and say, hey, you need to start behaving. That would make a huge difference, not just at the transit center, but throughout downtown, in our schools, in our community. Until we've got that kind of response, my responsibility is to the community, to our customers, to make sure that this investment that's been made is going to work.
If you want to call the program questions or comments and maybe relate your experience at the RTS Center or hearing the news of what RTS is doing, does this change your view? Some of you have called the program in the past saying that you were concerned. Does this start to satisfy you? It's 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Now, in June, at the end of the school year, this partnership, the official partnership, will end between RTS and the Rochester City School District. Goes back 37 years, Bill?
When we talk about going back 37 years, it's not that we were doing in 37 years ago what we're doing today. We've been assisting the city school district for 37 years, sometimes just getting private parochial students,
okay.
Sometimes just a high schooler.
So this kind of agreement's been in place for how long then?
8 years ago, greatly expanded the agreement to what we have today.
Okay, and now you've got a case where the city school district is saying they don't have enough time. I know you've heard that. I know you say you talked to Bolhan Vargas yesterday. The statement that came from Superintendent Bolhan Vargas is the following, quote, "The abrupt decision by RTS to end 37 years of service makes it exceptionally difficult for the district to provide transportation for our secondary students this summer and in the next school year. We will have no other choice but to provide our students daily passes to access the public transportation system. This model is currently used in Buffalo and many other urban centers with great success," end quote. He's saying the district will pay for daily passes now. And let's listen to Van White, if we could. Van White is a school board member. He talked to Time Warner Cable News last night. Here is a short comment from Van White on the situation. Do we have it, Val? Let's listen to Van White, if we could.
Very frustrating for us to now have to figure out how are we going to get our kids to where they need to be.
He's frustrated by the timing. Bolhan Vargas says he's frustrated by the timing. And if they give the students daily passes, doesn't this mean nothing really changes? Or help me understand, Bill, what's going to happen?
So I think if I can take that question in two parts.
Absolutely, yes.
So the first piece, the school district went out to bid last fall and included the work that we've done for the last 8 years and as part of that bid process. We've never been notified that they're not going with another provider. They've continued to work with us, particularly the last 7 or 8 weeks. We had a good meeting in early March, said we think this might work for us based on what we've seen so far at the transit center. But they have yet to provide the schools that will work within the model that we need. And our staffs collectively have worked hard on it. We needed summer school census data by April 1st. We received that about 2.5 weeks ago after the deadline, and we've been working on that. But my thought process as a leader is you have your plan A and your plan B. And what I learned yesterday is they may not have been able to come up with a plan B, that they're satisfied with us and want to move forward. So I had no indication that we were their only provider. It's not that we're backing out of a contract. We're negotiating, and we're ending those negotiations. The second piece to it is how I estimate they would need about 8 million single-ride bus passes in order to get their 9,000 or 10,000 students transported to school in the morning and back home in the afternoon. So you have the logistics issue of that distribution. But let me try to break it down quite simply. What they pay for and what I mean by customizing our service. East High School is just down the street from our campus on East Main. There are 1,163 students eligible for RTS transportation every day. Most of them get out of school at 2:10, somewhere in after school activities. But there are 900 or 1,000 students that exit at 2:10 in the afternoon, and we have 18 buses ready to pick them up and take them to their neighborhood. What we're saying is we're not going to provide that level of customized service. There will be a bus on East Main Street every 20 or 25 minutes in the fall, and when those 900 or 1,000 students come out, that bus comes every 20 or 25 minutes, and some number of students will be able to get on the bus. I imagine we may set a Guinness Book of Records for the first couple buses. But the system won't work. And the school district, when we've said that to them, will say, well, you'll have to send more buses. The announcement yesterday is we're disposing of those buses and we're laying off the operators. So I'm not sure who would go to pick up the rest of those students. Could we send an extra bus? Sure. Could we send 18 extra buses? At School of the Arts, it's 18 buses. At Edison, it's 16 buses. That's a customized level of service that we're saying we need to pull back from. The other thing I said to the superintendent, what was reported in the paper this morning, is we're willing to work through a transition. If they come back and say, you know, we need 2 more months, we need 4 more months, we get it. And the news report I saw from Board President Van White is he understands the impact it's had on us. The superintendents understand the impact it's had on RTS. We'll work through a transition. We're not looking to do any long-term contracts. My recommendation is, as part of that bid process, there's 2 other transportation providers in town that they've contracted for some level of work. Let's get the 3 of us in the room together with our CSD school leadership and say, here's what RTS has, who can do what, how quickly. And then I'll take a look and say, maybe there's some smaller level of service for a short period of time we would be able to continue doing, because the students are part of our community. And the reason for doing this is we need to serve the whole community. I don't want to turn my backs on anyone here.
The daily passes, then, are not going to affect the 144 layoffs, period?
It would not.
Okay. And if you're just hearing about that, again, that's part of this process here that is starting to unfold now. 144 positions will be eliminated as a result of these changes. So we've already had a number of questions online via Twitter, via email, saying, hey, the City Daily Pass, can't we keep those jobs? You're hearing from Bill Carpenter, not only will that not happen, but that customized service is not going to happen. So this notion of the daily passes, do you think the district is getting that message today, Bill? Is this a case now where do you expect to meet with them further, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, down the line, once they understand RTS is saying that daily pass situation is not going to be sustainable?
Well, the primary audience I want to understand that the daily pass situation doesn't work is our customers and other community members that are invested in this issue. I think the city school district understands what I just said, that the reason they pay what they pay is so those buses and those operators can be there to get them to school when school starts, get them back home when school ends. And the comment yesterday is, well, here's an option. Yes, it's an option if you want to go that direction. But they understand the logistics. They have a transportation department. Those folks will say it's not a solution. So anytime news is quote unquote sprung on someone, and it was not my intention to do it abruptly, suddenly. We came to the conclusion as quickly as we could, notified my board yesterday morning, and notified the community in the afternoon. September is a long way off. So we thought there's plenty of time. A contract like this with 70 buses, 9,000 students should be attractive to national companies to come in. The superintendent has told me in the past he'd like to bring in a national company. So I think there is an opportunity for the conversation to continue, and I expect it will. And we all want the kids to get safely to school and back home. We don't want to see summer school programs have to be eliminated. So we'll work hard on our end to see what part, albeit a smaller part, we can play moving forward.
Or at least continue for a couple of months, but not in perpetuity the way it has been.
We don't want to continue customizing our service the way we have through the transit center.
Jill writes to the program, it sounds like this is passing a very serious problem on to someone else. And Jill, let me tell you as the host, I don't know if Bill will disagree with that, but it does sound to me at least, Bill, like you're saying, you've done your best at RTS to address what you think is a very serious problem, but without more parental cooperation and frankly, a cultural change in the city, you've got to protect the broader interests of RTS. I don't know if I'm characterizing that correctly. Do you think this is passing a big problem onto someone else?
My job as chief executive officer for the Regional Transit Service is to provide public transportation for the community. And the decision yesterday was, in order to do that, we can't customize that system for the Rochester City School District. My responsibility is to the community at large. It's not a particular customer. The times where we eliminate a route, where we make adjustments to serve the broader community, individuals, businesses, and in this case the city school district are impacted. But my responsibility on behalf of the authority is to the entire community.
Talking to CEO Bill Carpenter of RTS, and David writes, amazing interview. Please thank Mr. Carpenter for his leadership and this decision. So we're seeing a lot of different feedback. We're going to get to some of your phone calls. I'm late for a break. We'll take that break right now. Your phone calls. And I'd love to have time to talk about other things here. Bill, you got a lot going on at RTS.
Well, if I can before the break.
Sure.
One of the issues for me is there are a lot of very exciting things that we are doing to our public transit system that we're not able to talk about because people only want to talk about one issue. And as we solve this issue, they'll learn there's a lot of other exciting initiatives that we're doing to make the public transit system in our community better for all.
I understand that completely. And let me also say, as the host of this program, we've heard from a lot of listeners who've wanted to talk about this. We're spending the time doing that now. And I promise you, there will be other things to talk about, and we will get there eventually. So thank you for being here. It's CEO Bill Carpenter of RTS. Short break. Some of your phone calls next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we're talking about nonviolent protest. We're looking at Baltimore and across the country as the Gandhi Institute in Rochester welcomes a couple of activists, social activists who prefer nonviolent methods to some of what we've seen in Baltimore this week. We're going to talk Baltimore, talk demonstrations, nonviolent protest, and more. Join the conversation next hour on Connections.
Charlie McMahon joined the Marines as the Vietnam War wound down.
He was so proud to be a Marine, it was obvious to other Marines.
One of the last Marines to die in Vietnam, bringing his body home was not easy.
I think Senator Kennedy felt he had a special obligation to the family.
Leaving no one behind, later on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Welcome back to Connections. Your phone calls, and Sarah in Rochester, you're on with Bill Carpenter. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just wanted to say thank you for RTS to the Bill Carpenter. It's a wonderful service, and we use it all the time to get around downtown, and I think you're doing a great job. And I think it's a good use of your power as being the only, you know, RTS service for us to force a change that really needs to happen. I've been downtown several times and there've been fights that break out. I saw a young African-American man get his lights punched out right in front of me at a bus stop. And it was because there was just so many kids and there was no supervision and there was no way for any of them to be safe. And I just think it's a good idea to kind of use the weight you have to say this has to change so that we can make downtown a safer place. So, good job.
Well, thanks, Sarah. It's also a sad day for those individuals whose jobs will be lost. And the other piece to this is having a million people a month go through the facility doesn't mean there won't be any issues. And it's not the school district and their curriculum that teaches young people how to fight. And it's not like we're running a program teaching them how to fight. This is a community-wide issue, and I am hopeful that one of the outcomes for this would be more leaders in the community, parents, churches, not-for-profits, that are able to turn the tide so that everyone feels comfortable wherever they are in the community following this issue.
All right, let me get back to the phones, and I think we have got Roy here. Is this Roy?
Yes.
Go ahead, Roy.
Yes, it must be a hard time. It seems like a series of decisions have come, what seems to me, in a circle, like greater involvement of the city transit service in the school system's affairs, now out of it again. Is it possible that, you know, looking at from this end of the tunnel, was it a bad choice?
So if I make sure I'm understanding the question, Roy, was it a bad choice to begin doing school district service?
To get, I understood, I thought there was greater involvement. In fact, wasn't there even some federal question about whether or not school transit could be done using municipal buses instead of school buses?
There are very strict Federal Transit Administration guidelines we need to follow in order to do the work that we do. And we expanded our relationship with the school district about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question, Roy?
Well, I guess it didn't work.
What's worked well for 8 years is we've been, for taxpayers, saving the school district and the, who funds a school district money on school transportation. And what we found, it does require a level of customization. One of the things that's changed over the last 8 years, and there's a lot of things that have changed, but the number of charter schools, the number of programs the school district needs to run in order to keep children engaged based on their home situations, it's become more and more and more and more complex. And so certainly the transit center is the reason where I'm looking to make that place safe and making this decision. But I will tell you, and others in our organization would say, it's been more difficult to achieve the customization they need because their job is getting more difficult.
It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255 if you want to get on the conversation with CEO Bill Carpenter of RTS. Martin wants clarification, will RTS honor the daily passes that students will apparently be getting from the city?
Again, let me just go through the logistics.
I never heard you say you wouldn't honor the passes, yeah, but go ahead.
If the school district says for these students we're going to buy daily passes, our fair policy allows them to buy the passes, what the student may find is, just like folks trying to get to Henrietta and RIT in the morning on the Route 24, we don't have enough service to get them all there, and you have to wait till the next bus. And that's what the daily pass, it's not like an airline ticket. When you buy a ticket on an airplane, you expect a seat. People can bypass when there's capacity. You can ride the bus you want. When there's not capacity on that bus, you wait for the next bus. And with the school district, we've always made sure that what they need, we've designed capacity for. That's what they've been paying for, is that capacity. Without that contract in place, just buying a daily pass will allow them to have a seat on a bus when the bus has a seat.
Okay. Got a comment from Mark, wants to know, he's heard in the last 24 hours people invoking Buffalo as a model where things have been ostensibly working in other places. Does that make sense? Mark wants to know what Bill thinks of Buffalo and other cities that have been trying to tackle similar problems.
We've talked with the school district about the Buffalo model. You know, I know there's some people in Rochester that wish we had built our downtown at a waterfront. One of the things that a waterfront does is you're community can only grow a particular way. Our city goes north, south, east, west. In Buffalo, you've got Lake Erie at the one end. So you can put light rail service and almost bifurcate your city. So the way the Buffalo system works is this NFTA, the authority there, buses students from neighborhoods to the rail service. The students get on the rail service. They get off at the stop near the school, and then they've got timing of buses to get the kids from the rail system to the school. Doesn't cost the NFTA anymore to run the rail system more frequently. It's a very expensive capital project to do, but once it's done, it's not very expensive to run it. So they don't need as many buses as we do. They don't need as many operators. They don't have to customize their system as much, and they don't have a downtown transit center where the students collect. But this is why some people say, you know, why does Buffalo have a police force? The Transit Authority has a police force. It's primarily to keep that rail system safe that the students are on morning and afternoon. So it's a very different system. I'd be glad to go over with school representatives, talk to the school district, talk to the folks from the Transit Authority, and see if there's something we can learn. But I have benchmarked what we do with Syracuse and Albany and Buffalo. Our system is very different here, school system and transit system, and it would not work.
Is the message for the city school district right now, the current plan that they talked about, the daily passes, assuming that that can cover for this change and make it work, is that simply a mistake? If they don't make any change to policy, is that a mistake?
Evan, I have a lot of respect for what the school district has to do, what their mission is. Their core business is not transportation. If they have a transportation department where they have experts, people every bit as good as my staff, if they talk with their folks and say, yes, Mr. Superintendent, that will work, I'd be glad to sit down with them and see how they think it would work. What I mentioned earlier is they have other transportation providers. Let's get all of us together in the room and let's find out what the capacity is amongst all of us and figure out a way so you've got dedicated buses for each student from home to school, from school to home. Keep the transit center safe. Keep the children safe. Let's get kids properly educated, not worried about their safety to and from school.
For our listeners who might have missed it, the host will characterize some of Bill's comments to say that with the city's current plan stated yesterday, the daily pass is not going to work. Very flatly, just based on the description. And so we will see what they do going forward. But Bill has been, I think, more than diplomatic in trying to make sure. I think you've been courteous, you've been respectful, but I think the city is going to, or the district, I should say, will have to grapple with the fact that that is not going to work. Jim in Gates, go ahead, Jim.
I just wanted to ask why there are no repercussions for the aggressors in a fight. Why are they not threatened with arrest or arrested or held for 24 hours? Or if they're posting on Facebook that they're going to attack someone, why are they not arrested for a terroristic threat? That certainly should not be done in a public place. Can you respond to that?
Jim, thanks for your question. We do have arrests at the transit center. The criminal justice system, and I think the DA is probably better at this, or the police chief, as to what the repercussions are for a 15 or 16-year-old, a 14-year-old who does a criminal activity, what the repercussions are. But to the maximum extent, we can identify the individuals. We have banned individuals from the transit center. We don't allow them back in. We arrest individuals. And as many arrests as we've made, as many as we've banned, the problems continue.
Mike on Twitter wants to know if RTS is looking at a downtown circulator and increasing frequency on existing routes, would that be an incentive for higher ridership?
Oh, I love questions about what else we might do. We do need to get back to the focus on our system, moving away from customizing it for the school district and the safety of our customers at the transit center. A circulator downtown has been a big ask. It would be helpful. Folks should know that the end of May is very close. It's the start of summer. We're all looking forward to it. I'm not, because federal funding for public transportation ends May 31st. And so the type of long-range planning that investing in a product like that, a circulator, I call it a product, I don't know where we would get the funding to buy the buses, because right now the federal legislation is ending for 10 years. There's not been a long-term plan. Please contact your congresswoman, your congressman, your senators. Get long-term good funding. It pays for highways, for bridges, and for public transit. And once we've got a robust funding program, there's some really cool things we can do with the transit center, the jewel around it, to build around.
Will writes with a two-pronged question, the first related to the recent incidents, then the second a little more broad. So let's take it one at a time. He says, good afternoon, Evan and Bill. As I recall, one of the primary factors motivating the development of a downtown bus facility, stated by politicians, the RTS and Downtown Development Corp., was to alleviate the problems caused by youths gathering at the Liberty Pole as they transferred from buses. Obviously, this did not resolve the problem. Simply rerouting buses transporting school youth to other locations for transfer would have been a better and less costly solution to that part of the problem. Bill, yes or no?
Well, one of the visceral responses, when I got into this, I joined the authority 4.5 years ago. I went down to the corner of Main and Clinton early one morning. That was where we had a customer service kiosk, and Dan ran that kiosk for a long time. He's a 10-year employee with us. And as I talked to him at 6 o'clock in the morning, chilled, I saw a young woman with two children, one in her arms, one walking that she then got a stroller out. This was a February morning. It was in the 20s. It was windy. And I said, why is a woman with two young children, she looked to be in her teens, early 20s, why is she on our bus at this time of day? And he said, because she's going to school or she's going to work. And I said, how long will she have to wait for her bus? How long will those two young children need to wait for a bus? And why are they waiting on Main Street instead of in an enclosed facility? Those are the reasons why we built the RTS Transit Center. We had the coldest February in Rochester history, an average temperature 12.2 degrees. Our customers had climate-controlled comfort to wait for the bus. So that's a reason our bus customers, we treat train customers, airplane customers with that courtesy. We're now treating our bus customers that way. And Main Street now looks like a pedestrian mall that can be used for retail, for business, and a development downtown.
Will's second part says, this is an attractive building, but he thinks wrong location. Should have been combined with a new rail station and intercity bus service. He says an intermodal facility should have been the goal of public dollars invested to improve 21st century transportation needs.
I didn't know that was the second question when I mentioned I've been around for 4.5 years. But that community conversation happened, predates me. When I came, we had the funding, we had the land, we had city council approval for a specific spot. I felt my job was to get it built. And I appreciate everyone that says woulda, coulda, shoulda. But I'm going to do my best to make sure the investment that's been made, the community benefits from.
Bill Carpenter is RTS CEO. Before I get back to the phones, this has not been the most enjoyable week of having to deal with these issues. I know you're doing it because you have to, and 43 minutes in, you deserve one softball. So how many people said to you in February when it was 4 degrees outside, negative 20 with the wind chill, thank God we can be inside?
Well, there were people that enjoyed it. Unfortunately, another aspect that we've struggled with is roads got more narrow and more difficult. We had some buses that we couldn't get out in the morning because operators were not able to work the overtime that they typically do.
How do you fix that in the future? I mean, it's partially weather-related. You can't totally control the weather, but you've been in government in various branches for years. Do we need to do a better job downtown to handle that kind of thing?
Well, the issue for us, you know, there's a lot of talk. We were short operators. And when I rethink that situation, we look historically, what do we need in the wintertime? We're going to be a little bit short. It's going to provide some extra overtime. Why didn't we run a class last September, October? Oh, that's right. We had 340 bus operators we had to train on the new RTS transit facility, on our new bus routes, on our new system. So the training department didn't have capacity. Our recruiting and hiring department was hiring the staff for the transit center. So we said, okay, we're going to be a little bit short, but we should be okay. And in January, we were. Early February, we were fine. And what happened was the weather became so difficult to drive in. Park Avenue was a one-way street with two-way traffic. Joseph Avenue, a one-way street with two-way traffic. You try doing that for 8 or 10 hours a day, and someone calls and says, hey, you want to do it some more? They say no. And I did hear from a lot of customers at that point in time, not sure what we would have done differently, but if someone had told me February will be the coldest month and we'll get 50 inches of snow and none of it will melt, we would have found a way.
If that happens again, what will you do differently?
Well, we're not planning on building another transit center this year, so we'll make sure we're properly staffed next winter.
Paul in Rochester. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, good afternoon. I first want to congratulate Mr. Carpenter on his actions and his decisions. I'm looking forward now, because I do take the bus on a basis. I do live downtown, and I think the ridership will increase from the park and ride to general neighborhoods if he can start a campaign to show that you can take a bus to the parks, to the zoo, for $2 round trip. The Transit Center is a marvelous facility, nicely built. But a few of the challenges that is facing the Transit Center is also some of the challenges that's facing the downtown development period. And hopefully they'll get that back on track too. But I just want to say thank you to Mr. Carpenter.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Bill?
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that very much. And again, our planning department is looking forward to, we'll transition the city school district to other providers and then really focus on where do people want to go, where's their volume for our service. And I will continue to ask Washington and Albany, give us as much public funding as we can. We like the dollar fare. We think that's an affordable way to provide transportation, and the more we can do, the better for the community.
No plans right now to change the dollar fare?
I've told our board, as part of our comprehensive plan, the 2015 calendar year, the fare will remain a dollar.
David on the web has a question that I don't know if Bill Carpenter can answer, but we'll give it a shot. He says, David says, Evan, if I'm not mistaken, the city school budget spends more on each pupil than any suburban district. If suburban districts can afford their own school buses, why can't the city have its own fleet of school buses?
Not a question I'm a subject matter expert on, Evan.
Okay, yeah, I figure that may be the case. And let's wrap the hour talking about some other things, and I will wrap up that part of the discussion if you're just joining us and tuning in. It has been a lot happening in the last 24 hours. RTS announcing that at the end of the school year, at the end of June, they are ending the relationship with the city school district, which means we're talking dozens of buses that are specialized service to transport students to and from school, up to 9,000 students a day. That will end. And the city school district responded by saying, well, we'll just give our students daily passes. And what we're finding out this hour is that is not going to work. Because as Bill said, not an average school, but there are certain schools, East High, School of the Arts, 16 to 18 buses a day in the morning and the afternoon. Is that right?
That's right, Evan.
Okay. And that's not going to be sustainable. So now the ball back in the court of the city school district. We'll have to see what they decide to do going forward. But as Bill has said, I know it's been a frustrating time because there are other things going on. And, you know, if you didn't have to talk about this, Bill, what does excite you? What do you wish you could be talking about?
Well, let me talk to you about a couple items that with the Transit Center make it easier for us to do. So the Dewey Avenue bus years ago, and this is a good instructive for those who say, well, we'll just buy bus passes and see what happens. 4.5 years ago when I joined the authority, one of the things we look at is pass-ups. That is, a bus is full, and you're standing at a bus stop expecting to get on, and the bus goes by. And now you have to wait for the next bus. And so we had service on Dewey Avenue about every 25 minutes, and we said, well, if we do every 20 minutes, we'll be fine. And at every 20 minutes, it wasn't enough. So now most of the day we've got 15-minute service on Dewey Avenue. There's so much traffic that if you're trying to get from the Transit Center to the end of the line, it's a 38 to 40-minute trip. Beginning on Monday, we're introducing a new route. It's the Route 150 that essentially covers that same territory from the Transit Center to the Grease Walmart. It will do that trip in 28 minutes by only stopping about every half mile it stops. So that at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, if that's your destination, and this is our busiest route, we've got about 4,000 people a day that use that route. If you're trying to get from downtown out to Walmart, Walmart back to the Transit Center, we've just saved you 20 minutes round trip. So at the top and bottom of the hour, it'll be the more express service at 15 minutes and 45 minutes after the hour. If you don't want to get off, say you're just trying to get to an area near Aquinas, or near Emerson, and the bus stop you normally take isn't on this express route, well, at the quarter hour, you can take the bus, and that will continue to do all the same stops. We're also adding service, a new route called the Route 25. We're combining the Thurston Avenue route with the Route 19, which goes from the 19th Ward to MCC. Combining the two, calling it the Route 25, it'll go from the Transit Center over to the 19th Ward, over to MCC, out to Metro Park on Brighton-Henrietta Town Line Road. We'll have twice the frequency from the 19th Ward to MCC, the ability to get to Brighton-Henrietta Town Line Road during work shift change times. So a very exciting piece. And then another one is our bus stop optimization.
You got 20 seconds.
20 seconds. So bus stop optimization is having enough bus stops to make it easy for people to get on and off the bus without so many that your bus ride is stop, 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 stop. And that's been rolling out. A lot of exciting things and more on the drawing board.
I didn't even get to ask you about car sharing or ride sharing.
Van pools, May 11th. Look for information.
Is that coming too?
May 11th, we're taking
our... We didn't have enough time with you, Bill. Bill is right in that we had to talk, and understandably so. This community needed to know what's going on with the RTS Center. But I do hope we can come back on a different day and talk about all those other things.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Bill Carpenter, CEO of RTS, giving us an hour of his time today. Short break and talking nonviolent protest next hour.